Blog Talk Radio.
Might as well put your hands together.
Praise the Lord, praise ye the Lord. You're once again in tune to, are you a liability or an asset to the Kingdom of God Internet Radio Show? I am your host, Brother James Brown Jr., and we do come to you live from Detroit, Michigan, each and every Thursday and Saturday night from 8 o'clock p.m. until 9 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time. As usual, I'm asking all listeners, please get your Bibles, your pens and paper ready, to follow along with Deacon Marvin Cox as he get ready to come forth and share with us another inspirational poem, as he always does. And then following his poem, he's going to go into God's Word. So you want to have your Bibles, your pens and paper ready to follow along with him as he gets ready to deliver God's Word to God's people on tonight. But we always open up with prayer. I'm asking all listeners, please pray with me at this time, because we do serve an awesome God. He can hear and answer all of our prayers at the same time. Please pray with me once again. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, we come on tonight to give you glory, honor, and praise for who you are. We bless your name because we know that you're truly worthy to be praised. There is none like you in all the earth. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that you are not like man. You have and hold all power in heaven and earth in your hands. Heavenly Father, we thank you again for who you are. We bless your name. Heavenly Father, we come now in the name of Jesus Christ, asking that you would forgive us of all of our sins and our transgressions, starting with myself, my entire family, and my guest on tonight, Deacon Marvin Cox, and his entire family, and every faithful doer of your word all over the land. Heavenly Father, you know who we are and where we are, so we have to continue to have mercy upon each one of us and forgive us of all of our sins and our transgressions, so that our work for you on earth will not be in vain, so that we will be able to move forward and complete and fulfill our God's purpose in the earth for your glory is our prayer in Jesus' name. Now, Lord, we pray and ask that in the name of Jesus Christ on tonight, should there be any listeners that are not saved in Jesus' name, we pray, Lord, that something will be said through your word that would touch their hearts, Lord, that they will open their own mouth and confess the Lord Jesus Christ, even on tonight. And we would ask him to come first of all, to forgive them of their sins and their transgressions. They would ask him to come into their hearts and save them. And once they're saved in Jesus' name on tonight, they will come to know and walk in and fulfill their God purpose in the earth for your glory, is our prayer in the name of Jesus. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your grace. We thank you for your mercy, Heavenly Father. We thank you even for your sufficient grace towards each one of us. We know that we don't deserve it. We're not worthy of it. But we thank you for them in the name of Jesus Christ. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that you are a promise keeper. Again, we thank you that you're not like man. You don't slumber, you don't sleep. You keep your word, you keep your promises. Thank you, Heavenly Father, that all power, again, is in heaven and earth, is in your hands. And Heavenly Father, that you are in total control at all times. Now, Lord, we pray and lift up all those that have believed on tonight. Continue to comfort and strengthen them as only you can. Let them feel your presence, your peace, your joy, even in the midst of sorrow. And let them remember and stand on your word, Heavenly Father, that earth still has no sorrow that heaven cannot heal. And continue to touch, heal, and strengthen and set free and deliver your people, Heavenly Father, because we know that you're still working miracle signs and wonders, even on tonight. So we pray that you will continue to move by your spirit, Heavenly Father, and touch and heal you and strengthen your people all over the land that are sick and afflicted in the name of Jesus Christ. Now, Lord, we pray that you will help us to decrease on tonight so that you may increase in us through your man of God on tonight, and continue to bless each listener, continue to bless this ministry and worldwide platform, that it will be all that you have called and ordained for it to be for such a time as this, Heavenly Father, that you alone will be glorified, is our prayer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, on tonight, we do have another spiritual food for thought. Tonight's spiritual food for thought comes to us saying, in the title of a song, this is a gospel, old gospel hymn, and this is one of the first hymns that I sung in the choir, I think around 9 or 10 years old. And the title of the song, it says, and this is our spiritual food for thought for tonight. Again, this is an old gospel hymn for anyone that's listening on tonight. That's know about gospel hymns, you probably heard this song. But the spiritual food for thought says again for tonight, in times like these, we need a Savior. And that is still the truth even on tonight. In times like these, we need a Savior. And we know who that Savior is, our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and our soon coming King. So I pray again that you have your Bibles and your pens and paper ready to follow along with Deacon Marvin Cox on tonight. I'm asking all the listeners that you would please, you can always email me at all lowercase James_Brown1558@yahoo.com or on Facebook. I welcome all comments and feedback from all the listeners. Again, I welcome all comments and feedback from all listeners. You can email me at all lowercase James_Brown1558@yahoo.com or on Facebook. Well, we're going to go to my music break for tonight. And following the music break, we're going to come back and we're going to yield the mic to Deacon Marvin Cox, who's going to be delivering God's word on tonight. I'm looking forward to hearing what he has to say to God's people on tonight. Then we know that God is going to be glorified through him on tonight once again. So in the meantime, we're going to get ready to play our music break song for tonight, Total Praise. God deserved our total praise. Enjoy the music break.
Oh,
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Total praise on tonight. God deserves our total praise at all times. He's worthy to be praised. Before we bring on Deacon Marvin Cox to deliver God's word on tonight, I'd like to give a shout out to my bishop and pastor, Bishop James A. Jennings, bishop and pastor and shepherd of Greater Shield of Faith Baptist Church. I'd like to give a shout out to him as my pastor, and also to my church family, the Greater Shield of Faith Baptist Church family, and also to Pastor Isaiah Tillman and First Lady Helen Tillman of the Morning Star Baptist Church, where I am the musician there at that church. So I want to give a shout out to both churches where I am trying to be a doer of God's word and not just a hearer only for God's glory. So right now we're going to give the mic to Deacon Marvin Cox. Once again, I pray that you have your Bibles and your pens and paper ready to follow along with him. Deacon Marvin Cox, I now yield the mic to you.
Well, I thank you, Brother Brown. Once again, the Lord has bestowed on me an opportunity to bring forth his word. And I will never stop telling you of the awesome responsibility it is to bring forth his word. What a privilege it is to be chosen to bring forth his word. And I know that in order for me to bring forth his word, that I must have a clean vessel before him. Now, that being said, the Lord has once again given us a great lesson for tonight. And I'm going to start off with this poem. It's called "Let the Lord Clean It Up." If you clean up your act, the residue of sin still remains. If you clean up blood, it will leave invisible stains. If you don't want to keep drinking from that same bitter cup, turn it over to the Lord and let the Lord clean it up. If through your mistakes you cause someone sorrow, make amends today. Don't wait until tomorrow, or you'll reap just what you sow. So let the Lord wash you whiter than snow. If someone offends you and cause you heartache and grief, and they steal your belongings like a common thief, now would be a good time to fall on your knees and ask the Lord to remove unhealthy thoughts, these impurities. Learning to forgive is something we all must do. Take your burdens to the Lord. Let him handle it for you. Remember, God is watching from his most holy throne, and the things we mess up, we can't fix alone. So if you don't want to keep drinking from that same bitter cup, turn your life to the Lord so he can clean it up. Amen. We have a wonderful lesson for tonight, and tonight's lesson is going to take us up on the journey. It's going to take us, and it's appealing to all the Christians that have labored and have not got any recognition. And I will expound upon that briefly after I read the scripture for tonight. We're coming from 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter, the 7th verse. I read from the King James Version, and it reads, "After that, he was seen of James, than all of the apostles." Now, we had a topic for tonight. Let me read that again. After that, he was seen of James, then all of the apostles. Now, our lesson for tonight is, you don't know me, but I was there. Subtopic, a credible witness for the Lord does not have to be a household name. I want you to think about that momentarily, because there are so many. But I said we're going on a journey tonight, and the Lord has catered this word to those who have been laboring like Brother James was in obscurity, those that was laboring without the recognition, those who were laboring who seemed like they were just hanging out. But I got news for you, because the Lord chooses every last one of these individuals to walk with him. And we're talking about tonight, we're talking about James, son of Alphaeus. They called him James the Less, James the Little, James the Younger. But in that significant scripture that was just read unto you, it said that when the risen Christ was there, that James, now it's a little bit speculation as to whether it was the Apostle James, but there were two James that followed the Lord. But James the Less, as I say, it's not much history. If you search the scriptures, it's not much scripture on him. As a matter of fact, it might not be no more than two or three words that he spoke when he was following the Lord. So imagine yourself when others have come to the vineyard, when others have gotten the pat on the back, when others have appreciation, when others have parade, when others have certain days named after them. You don't know me, but I was there. And so Brother James, he walked with the Lord. He talked with the Lord. The Lord picked him out of the 12. So he had to have a certain amount of significance for the Lord to choose him. The Lord sees something in him, just like the Lord sees something in each one of us that no one else have looked far enough to see, that no one else tried to labor with us to bring out that part of us that the Lord knows that's in us. And so to get into tonight's lesson, we know that the Lord had preached. And then as he was going about, he chose 12 disciples. And the majority of them were, you had fishermen, you had tent makers, you had tax collectors, you had a thief. But see, that's the thing about the Lord, that he did not choose nobility to follow him. He didn't choose those that had that name recognition to follow him. Now we know that, okay, we know that Luke was a physician, but the people looked upon the Lord and his 12 disciples, or his band of 12 men in society. They looked down upon him because of the people that he associated with. They looked upon him as if he was nothing, because the fishermen, they were a profession, but they were basically like farmers. And we know that nowadays, because they were farming for fish, we know nowadays that farmers, even now during this crisis that we have, nobody is giving the farmers any credit for going out there and tilling the field and making sure that we have food on our tables. See, we don't think about that when we go into the store and see all that pretty red apples and green cabbage and vegetables and so forth and all. We don't think about what that farmer had to go through in order to till the land and get the food ready for our table. A lot of times we see the finished product and we don't think about what had to happen in order for it to get to that point. Now, you don't know me, but I was there. I don't know you, but you were there. And what I'm saying to each and every last one of you that have been laboring in the Lord, that have been doing the best that you can, that have dropped all that you have to follow the Lord, remember, no labor that you do for the Lord is in vain. People may not recognize you or give you that pat on the back that would be oh so helpful. Now, Brother Robinson, you've been laboring in the Lord for a long time and still laboring in the Lord, still on that smoky battlefield, still instructing the young women on how to treat their husbands, still instructing the young men, telling them on how to treat their wife. But at the end of the day, the recognition that a mother should get. Even our mothers nowadays, we don't show that appreciation for them. Why? Because they're so there. We take them for granted because they heal up and they bind up our wounds. They automatically, when they sense that it's a need for us to do things or to have things, they just make the sacrifices for us so that we can have. So it's something else when mama is doing all of these things, but young children think more of their dad than they do their mother sometimes. Their dad, I'm not going, well, let me rephrase that. Dad gets more recognition. Dad can sleep in the alley, but you know what? That's my daddy. I love him, but it's a double standard sometimes for these type of situations where someone in the church is picked or they chose, and there's been someone there that is just as qualified, but that person is looked over. They may give assignments to people when all of us may be looking for something to do. But see, this tonight's lesson covers the majority of Christians. We're laboring, but as I said, your labor is not in vain. We might not have the name recognition of our saints of the day. We might not have the name recognition of Price or Creflo Dollar or Jimmy Swaggart or any one of those people that have been serving on the high wall. We may not have that recognition, but see, we're talking about James the less here. We're talking about James the little, James the younger. But I got news for you. His role in serving Christ is just as significant as anybody else. Because the Lord went out there and he recruited. Let's say he recruited people from various backgrounds. And you don't have to have a name that is a household word in order to witness for the Lord. He was there. And see, he seen and he witnessed, the first one seen the risen Christ. He was in the upper room with the Lord when the Last Supper. So isn't that a wonderful thing? See, I don't know you, and I wasn't there when the Lord healed your body, when the Lord touched your child and brought your child safely back to you after your child had been out there doing all things that they thought they were possible. He touched the prodigal son. He went out there and he did. He lived lavishly and did all of those things. But see, I wasn't there when his dad ran out and fell on his knees and kissed him and welcomed him back into the fold. So I'm just saying the miracles that man performed every day that's concerning you and nobody else. Nobody else witnessed these things, but you were there. And this is what we should say, and this is how we should feel concerning God's word. Don't let whatever recognition somebody else is getting, don't let that knock you off your square. Don't allow that to cause you to have a heavy heart because you seem like you've been passed over, because it seems like the pastor is giving special recognition to the musicians. Now, Cook, I'm telling you, when the pastor, I mean, you can cook just as good as everybody, but when they have a big event at the church, you can handle it, but guess what they do? They call a caterer and overlook your talents and your cooking skills. Now, bus driver, person that go out there and bring the people to church, and then as soon as you get back to the vineyard to enjoy the service, somebody else way on the other side of town wants you to pick them up. We don't get recognition for these types of things. Those ones in the maintenance that's keeping the house of prayer tidy, you don't know me. I don't know you, but you was there performing the services of God. Now, isn't that a wonderful thing to be designated with that responsibility? As I'll tell you quite frequently. This is an awesome, awesome responsibility, because nowadays, in order for people not to accept the word, what do? They discredit the messenger. It was an Italian fellow who said, "The messenger is non importante," which translated means that the messenger is of no importance. Now, our life is the biggest snitch that it ever was. Our life will tell on us. Our life will reveal to others how we're living. So don't think for 1 minute, so we have to have that clean life. As the poem was saying, let the Lord clean it up. Because even after we have repented, the residue of that sin is still remaining on it. The residue of that sin has not went anywhere until the Lord judges us, until the Lord washes us whiter than snow. And if you notice, it says in the end days, there will be 200,000, which is the number which is half, a little bit half of the population of the United States, and they will be dressed in white. Now, I thought about that. Now, imagine 200,000 people like that in the Lord's army who are out there on the battlefield. You can imagine coming out, if you live in the north or where we have blizzards at, you know that when you have a blizzard, the first thing you do when you come outside with all that snow covering everything, you can't distinguish anything. You can't distinguish the cars from the trees, from the poles, to the fire hydrants or anything. And momentarily, you can't pick out no landmarks. You become what they call snowblind. Now, imagine you become invisible. Now, could you imagine, if you will, if you got a gravy stain on your white outfit, then somebody can pick you off. Somebody can say, okay, well, I see some movement right there. So we have to be careful to clean up ourselves in the way in which the Lord can use us. As I say, it's not much that I can tell you about Brother James. The only thing I can tell you truthfully and honestly is that he loved the Lord, that he followed the Lord, that he gave up everything that he could and everything that he possessed in order to follow the Lord. Have we done these things? I'll let you be the judge of that. You're not going to get no parade down your main street in your city because you coming over to the Lord's side. As a matter of fact, there's going to be a lot of people because that's going to rebuke and scorn you, because in order to follow the Lord, what you got to do, he said, drop all that you have and follow me. He said, don't bring nothing. Don't bring no script. Don't bring no coat. Don't bring nothing. Don't bring your cell phone, because we're going to live. Hey, we're going to might have some hard living, but we're going to make it. Now, can you imagine that you drop all that you have? But you say, well, I just got my stimulus check. I'm gonna take that with me because I might have to buy something along the way. No, no, no. Lord said, drop all that you have. Because why? We know it's Jehovah Jireh, which means God will provide. When they were hungry, the Lord, he taught them how to fish. When they had to pay the tax collector, the Lord once again went into that fish mouth and brought out some change so that the publicans could be satisfied. But see, Brother James here is walking and talking with the Lord, and his name is not even mentioned that much in the Bible. His name was mentioned when the Lord went out and he called the 12 disciples. And his name was like the ninth. One day he was the ninth apostle or ninth disciple that was called. But we didn't know him. We just know that he had a heart and a desire to do what the Lord told him to do. It wasn't as flamboyant. He wasn't as aggressive as Peter, because we know that Peter, every now and then, Peter would cut you. He didn't care nothing about that. Peter would cut you. Peter would cuss you out. We know that Matthew, but there was a certain notoriety with those type of Christians, because the first thing somebody say, don't fool with him. He'll tell you his mind. But see, Ecclesiastes tell us it's a time to speak and a time not to speak. So that those times when we wish that a brother would have said something out of the way to us so we could put him back in line. Brother or sister, hold your tongue. Now is not the time. Ecclesiastes tell you that. That is a time for everything. Well, see, this brother is walking. This unknown brother is walking with the Lord. And a few months back, we talked on being lonely in the midst of a crowd. And see, not being recognized will bring about loneliness to those who are laboring in the Lord. We all want our effort, but see, if the Lord is signing my paycheck, he lets us know that if I'm for you, I'm more than the whole world is against you. So don't look for recognition from men. His word also says that, woe unto you when men think well of you. Why? Because it can turn you very easily, turn you into a glory thief. Start petting yourself in the back. You start saying and stealing God's glory, and somebody tell that preacher, you know, you really did preach a good sermon today. The preacher get carried away with that compliment. Yeah, I did do pretty well, didn't I? But if the Lord had not put those words in his mouth, first, we got to seek the kingdom of heaven and God, and all these other things will be added to us. So we got to give the one recognition that deserves the recognition. Say, no, well, hey, pray for me. You know, the Lord has just used me, or the Lord just used me as a vessel. Why? Because his spirit will not dwell with men at all times. So we're not going to get away from James the Less, but see, this lesson tonight, as I say, it's for you. It's to encourage each and every last one of you to keep on keeping on in the name of the Lord. That no matter what your position is in the vineyard, the most important thing is that you're there. Some people want to sit way up front. Some people want to sit like the Pharisees and Sadducees. They want to sit in the back, but don't get me, and send their scouts up to the front. But don't get me wrong, sometimes when the services, it's got to be somebody in the back, but it don't necessarily have to be a Pharisee or a Sadducee. And I don't want to paint that picture that that's where they sit, because any seat that they could occupy. You know, if we go over to Job, it says that when the men of God came to assemble themselves, Satan was also there. So don't think that your church service is exempt from having Satan there, but those with the letter of the law girded about their loins and across their forehead, those I call those spiritual show-offs, those ones that knew the Bible through and through, those ones that had it in their head, but they didn't have it in their heart. So keep on doing what it is that the Lord told you to do. No labor that you do, or no labor that you have done for the Lord, is in vain. And I want to keep on emphasizing that, because there's a lot of people out there right now that want to give up, that feel that this journey is not worth it. Why is it not worth it? Because sometimes the reward that we see other people get, it causes us to grieve. And we're going to have some grieving moments. And if I can go over to where the prodigal son, that's eldest brother, I'm going to use him as an example. When his brother came back home after he had went out there and did everything that he thought that he was to do. That elder brother, he disowned his brother, as we do sometimes when we disagree with somebody. When a mother disagrees with a son or a father with a daughter, we just automatically tell that husband or wife, you better get your son, you better get your daughter, like I didn't have nothing to do with it. So when the prodigal son came back and the elder brother began to tell his dad, you mean to tell me you're going to throw this dude a party? You mean to tell me that you're going to give him, you know, you're going to cook the fatted calf for him? That's blasphemy. Why you going? You know, he done went out there, and he done wasted his money, and he done slept with whores. You mean to tell me that you're going to give him that kind of recognition? See, that's what I'm talking about right there, that sometimes just hold your tongue, because somebody is getting a little bit more recognition than you. That somebody that was lost, because God's word says, heaven rejoice over one repent, the 99 just that need no repentance. So we should be happy. If that person is getting that recognition, we should be happy for them, because sometimes vanity, and it exists in all of us to a certain degree, it will overtake you. Sometimes vanity will make you lose your evaluation, because the vanity, vainglory, is what? Let me translate this for you. It's all about the self. But who are we serving? We're serving the Lord. Sometimes we have to go through these trials and these tribulations for the benefit of Christ. Because whether you know it or not, somebody is looking at you. Somebody is looking at you right now. And they listen to us mope. They listen at us complain and say, why is it and there's so many complaining Christians out there? So many complaining Christians that whether we know it or not, through our complaints, we scattering God's sheep. We're supposed to have that happy attitude, regardless of what goes wrong. You know, say, Lord, I know you can, and I know that you're able. Even if you don't fix it right now, I've got faith that you will. Might not. I got to go through this a little bit longer. So you don't know me, but I was there. I was there when they hung you on the cross. I was there when you rose up. I was there when you healed people. I was there when you touched my body. So each and every last one of us have a story to tell. Each and every last one of us, when the Lord stepped into our life individually, listen to what I'm saying now, individually, and touched or fixed something or expedited something or slowed something down. Whatever it was that the Lord did at that time, things that we asked the Lord, but see, a lot of times we're not ready for those blessings, and we don't know how to handle those blessings. And when Brother Paul, I believe he had a thorn at his side, and you know how irritating that could be. But the Lord told him, he said, Lord, could you move this out my side? Lord said, suffer it to be so. So some suffering that we do is for the glory of God, because Satan will bring that pain and that frustration on you for one particular reason, and that's to get you to denounce God. So we know that serving the Lord is an individual thing. We know that doing what he say do is a choice that we make. And Brother Peter was saying, when things were not going too well, he told the Lord, he said, Lord, now, and this something he reminded the Lord, now the Lord know everything. But he said, Lord, we did what you said. You told us to drop all that we have and follow you. And look what mess you got us into. Even the children of Israel, after the Lord had delivered them out of the house of bondage, They couldn't wait. Lord. Oh, no, no, no. They couldn't wait on the Lord. They and Brother Aaron, who should have known better at that particular time, he orchestrated it. And so sometimes we have to be careful. See, you don't know me, but I was there. I don't know you, but you was there. So these individual stories that we have concerning the Lord, Brother James the Less, James Jr., as somebody would call him, James the Little, James the Younger. See, there's a lot of reason why they were called that, because he was not compared to James, the son of Zebedee, because, see, James, the son of Zebedee, they say that James and John were the only two apostles or disciples that when they spoke, they roared. They called them the Boanerges, which means the sons of thunder. And some people would get up with a soft voice and get their point just across just as good as anybody else. Some preachers, they got the hoop or, you know, but it's just the way they do. But most preachers, the other 10 disciples, they just stood flat-footed the way I'm doing now and told the truth. So don't look at my paycheck over there. It tells us about the vineyard workers. Say, brother, don't you worry about my paycheck. I'm getting everything I got coming. The Lord's word say so. So sometimes the uniqueness of things, we don't have no history of Brother James. So I'm not, you know, as I say, the Lord called him. He loved the Lord so much that he dropped all that he had and he followed the Lord. He was this to the Lord, the first one that the Lord seen after he had risen. Now, those are some significant things right there. So whatever story it is that you have to tell, because we could just look at the miracles that's been happening in our life. We can tell people about the healing that the Lord has done to us, because I know each and every last one of us probably have felt at one time in our life that we were sick enough to die. But the Lord said, not so. The Lord extended our time a little bit more. I know last year when I was in the hospital, I thought that was the end of the road for me. But the Lord said, not so. And I'm more than sure that some of us have been staring death in the face. And somehow or another, the Lord took the wheel out of our hands and steered around trouble, or somebody shot through a light right in front of us, missing us by inches. But then we got to be careful. Why? Because we blamed or we give credit to that narrow escape on our great driving skills. Instead of telling people, no, 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 we say something. But it was not something. It was the Lord. We say something told me not to do this. That's the Lord speaking to you. Because the Lord will warn you. The Lord will wave hurt, harm, and danger away from you. So now is not the time to be a glory thief. See, Brother James the Lesser, he was just that type of person that he didn't make no waves. Let's say Matthew, he was a tax collector once again. And we know, like now, everybody in love with the IRS, but wait a little bit while when they audit your taxes, everybody gonna go back to hating the IRS. But the publicans, they were one of the most hated people of all time. They didn't have no love for that publican. They didn't have no love for that tax collector. But he dropped what he had. Peter, Simon, some of them were brothers. Andrew, Bartholomew, Philip, Thomas, all of these disciples, you can go through the Bible and you can find numerous stories about how they dealt with certain situations. We know that Thomas was a skeptic, but James, we never heard anything about him questioning anything. We know that Judas was a thief. We never heard about James the less taking anything from anybody. We know, as I say, that Peter, he would cuss you out. He would cut you. He was very aggressive. In the garden, he cut off the soldier's ear. And all of these things that these other disciples did, guess what they did? They overshadowed. And then some of us, I'm more than sure, they just want to come into the house of prayer. And we just want to blend in. We just want to come there. We want to hear God's word. We want it to marinate in our soul. And we want to go home. I'm more than sure that that fits the description of some of you that's listening tonight. You don't seek the limelight. It's not important that your name is at the top of no list, but that human side of you, that fleshly side of you, every now and then want to hear your name mentioned in a positive way. But when the Lord called you, said, come here, Johnson, come here, Jones, come here, Sister Perryman, or whoever you might be, that's the most beautiful word that you could ever hear. And God's word, what did he say? He said, you didn't choose me, I chose you. So the Lord's saying something in each and every last one of us that we didn't see in ourselves. And most of us is making that sacrifice to follow him, to be servants, because, see, to be a disciple, you're a servant, you worship, and you a messenger. And a disciple emulates the activities of those that they follow. So the word of God should be on our lips. And we know that James, they say, is kind of sketchy about him, but they say that he probably was the first disciple that was martyred. So can you imagine the importance of what this brother had to do? You don't have to be household name. You don't know me, but I was there. I don't know you, but you were there. Through all the things that each and every last one of you, my brothers and sisters, have suffered through. And the Lord brought you on to the other side. It's time to be grateful, because as I say, you don't know me, but I was there. I don't know you, but you were there. And guess who was keeping company with? The Lord. He walked with James. He talked with James. He taught James about how to treat his fellow man. He taught him how to conduct himself. Now, what a wonderful teacher that is. It's not going to be everybody in the classroom who's going to raise their hand, but each and every last one of those individuals are just as knowledgeable as that one. Oh, teacher, I know. So some people do not flaunt what they know. They do not flaunt their knowledge. They do not flaunt none of these things, but deep in their heart, they love the Lord just as much as that person that get up there and could expound on the word and break it down and then roll it up into a big package and serve it to you. So let's say tonight's lesson is basically pertaining to those people who feel like they've been left out. Those people that are obscure. And what I mean obscure, that's not in a bad way. But obscure means very little recognition. Because we had three of them, I think it was Peter, James, and John, we would say that they were in the Lord's inner circle. The Lord designated them on numerous times. Hey, come go with me. I got an assignment for you. Or I want you to see something. And then, but all of us whether we get the recognition or not. God loves each and every last one of us. The Lord loves each and every last one of us, and He loves each and every last one of us. Guess what? Not more, but He loves each and every last one of us the same. Because He chose people from all different types of backgrounds, all ethnicities, from different countries. And so, if He chose you this evening, would be a good time to say, thank you, Lord. I got to take my focus off of all the things that's happening around me. Because I'm trying to figure out. Sometimes we go to church and figure out, now where do I fit in? We see, we hear somebody singing in the choir, but we don't have that type of voice. My pastor told me one time that I had the type of voice that could turn a peace march into a riot. So I said, no, and then he asked me to turn around again and say, and I was so privileged and so proud, he said, well, you know, do you want, can you sing? I said, yeah, I can't sing. He said, well, I know the Lord gave you a voice. I said, yeah, you know, I try. He said, no, I don't want you to try. He said, I want you to, Brother Cox, I want you to sing so low. I said, wow, he's going to put me in front of the church and they want me to sing so low? I say, I don't know. He said, then he hit me with the punchline. Say, I want you to sing so low, they don't know why they hear you. So these are the things that I say we might not sing better than, we might not read as good as anybody else. We may not perform. We might not even be as knowledgeable. We might have to keep reminding us what that scripture say, what that scripture say, what that scripture say. But see, that scripture is already in your heart. See, that spiritual side, don't forget. But it's that fleshly side that every now and then will get amnesia. So, Brother James DeLess, we don't know you. But I'm so proud that you walk with the Lord. Because you know what it did? It opened up the door for me. It opened up the door for you. Open the door for each and every last one of us, because we're not going to have household names. You know, each and every last one of us is not going to get that recognition, or we're just going to sit and we're going to labor, and we're going to labor quietly with the Lord. And don't worry about those ones that are coming later. Don't be like the one, the vineyard workers who said, what, you mean to tell me that you're going to give them the same thing? But the Lord said, look, let me tell you one thing. It's right for me to do with mine what I will. He says, I do thee no wrong. Friend, I do thee no wrong. So your reward is just as great as that one that's been in there all the time. Laborers that's been in the vineyard a long time, this is a message from the Lord tonight, letting you know that no labor that you do for the Lord is in vain. That preacher might not even speak your name, but I'm going to speak your name, Brother Johnson, Brother Caldwell, Sister Robinson, the rest. Brother Isaiah, I'm going to mention your name, because the Lord wants you to know that your labor for Him is not in vain. Your labor will be rewarded. So we have to look back. And our biggest reason in life why we don't identify, why we sometimes don't practice the scriptures, because we cannot identify with the subject matter. But I know each and every last one of us could identify with Brother James. So I say, I didn't tell you much about him because I don't know much about him. There was not much recorded about him. But I can tell you that he loved the Lord like we do. He served the Lord like we do. He followed the Lord like we do. He sacrificed like we do. So if you fall into that category, that should be an uplifting message for you. You don't know me. You can tell somebody that. You don't know me, but I was there. A credible witness for the Lord don't have to be a household name. this is how the Lord will have it, because I followed him, I seen him, I witnessed for him. He taught me, he walked with me, I talked with him. Now, what better company can you have than that? So I thank the Lord once again for this opportunity to bring you his word. And nobody is laboring in obscurity. It's just some people who the Lord has designated to do certain things. Because, see, those are the examples right there. You know, don't be like this, don't be like that, or whatever. But I'm talking about that little quiet person. That quiet person that just come and serve the Lord, pay their tithes, their offerings, and counsel the young. Those are the people that I'm talking about. Those cooks that don't get no recognition. Those transportation people that travel all over sometimes. It's the services of God because they're transporting people back and forth to the house of prayer. Those are the people that I'm talking about. Those mothers that's been sitting on the motherboard for a long time, whose opinion is valuable, but people don't ask for their opinion because they try to figure out or turn up their nose at them because they say they what? Old-fashioned. So may God bless you, be able to keep you, and I'm now turn you over to the hands of Brother Brown.
Amen. Praise the Lord on tonight. We know that the Lord's word has not gone out vain or void on tonight. The Lord's word has not gone out void on tonight. It is going to accomplish everything that the Lord God has set up, because he knows exactly who is going to be listening, and he knows exactly what we all stand in need of. So this word, again, has not gone out void on tonight. I pray that you have received it in love, and that you was blessed by it on tonight, and you can also share with your friends and loved ones and co-workers and neighbors and friends or whoever on your again on your job about this worldwide ministry and platform, so that they can also tune in and be blessed by God's word. To spread the good news about the Lord Jesus Christ is being taught and preached over this worldwide platform. So God is being glorified, and we just love him for opening this worldwide platform and door for us to be able to give him glory, honor, and praise for who he is. So we are just the servants, the ambassadors, we are the vessels that he are using in the earth today through world social media, through this worldwide network and platform, so that we can be the vessels that he's speaking through to the earth, that men, women, boys, and girls that are spiritually blind on tonight all over the land, once they hear the word of God, they can make a choice. It's a choice that each one of us have to make to be saved in Jesus' name. So we thank God for Dick and Marvin Cox on tonight. We thank God for the word that has gone forth on tonight through Dick and Marvin Cox. And again, I pray that you are blessed by the word. Continue to be followers of this worldwide ministry platform. We're going to close out in prayer as we always do. Eternal God, our Heavenly Father, it's in the name of Jesus, we come once again to give you glory, honor, and praise for who you are. We thank you again for your grace. We thank you for your mercy, even your sufficient grace towards each one of us. And Father, we thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, our risen Lord and Savior and soon coming King. We thank you for his sacrifice and for the blood of Jesus that still works in the earth and it will never lose its power. We thank you that you are in total control at all times, no matter what it looks like, even in times like these. We know that you are in total control and you're still worthy to be praised. We thank you that you are the Most High God. Your eyes are in every place. And we thank you again, Heavenly Father, that you're not like man. You cannot lie. You cannot fail. You cannot change. You don't slumber. You don't sleep. We again thank you for who you are. We bless your name because you're truly worthy to be praised. Continue to have your way in each one of our lives individually and then as a corporate body of believers worldwide, Heavenly Father, that you alone will be glorified, that men may see our good works and give you the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Know that I love you. Know that God loves you even more. Until the next time, continue to be blessed of the Lord. Good night.